Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 91. My name is John. I don't need you to worry for me, because I'm all right. I don't want you to tell me it's time to come home. I don't care what you say anymore. This is my life. Go ahead with your own life and leave me alone. Ever dealt with somebody nosy? I had a sister who could be really nosy sometimes, but that was nothing compared to the sister of one of my friends growing up. She was self-righteous, overtly religious, and a total ass-kisser to her parents. It didn't help that her older brother and my older brother had been friends, and my brother, in her mind, was a bad influence. It didn't help that her older sister and my older sister were friends, and my older sister, in her mind, was kind of a bad influence. I guess she assumed if my older siblings were bad influences on her siblings, then I would be too. So, whenever my friend and I hung out at his house, she took every advantage to eavesdrop on our conversations and report back to her mom with her own spin on things, of course. The last straw for me was the time my friend and I were sitting outside the house and she secretly listened to our conversation from a nearby window. She then ran to her mom and told her all about what I had said, taking it completely out of context. Maybe it's just my personal experiences, but people like that annoy the hell out of me. I have little patience for them. They're irritating and frustrating. Unless you are one of those people, you may not be a fan either. This is primarily a libertarian podcast. The libertarian philosophy is that people should live their life as they so choose, so long as they do not violate the natural rights of other people. So, nosy people like Little Miss Manners should get the fuck out of my conversations and out of my personal affairs. By that same token, I don't have the right to force other people to conform their lives to my morality. And that's where we get the subtle yet vital difference between libertarians and collective ideologies. Any collective that uses force to make other people conform to their version of morality, no matter how beneficial it may be, is evil. Any individual representing a collective ideology who tries to force his or her morality onto others, no matter how beneficial it might be, is evil. So, let me take a moment to go back to something I have stated numerous times in previous podcasts. If you think socialism is great, and you want to get together with your friends who all voluntarily agree with you that socialism is wonderful, and you want to start a cooperative where you all share your resources based on agreed-upon rules, then, as my siblings used to say, rock on with your bad selves. But if I don't want to join your little collective, you can't make me. That's the Reader's Digest version of what I've stated so many times before in the past few years. Let me give you a slightly different angle so you can fully understand where I'm coming from with my intro and with the new story I'm about to relay to you. I don't like socialism. I think I made that pretty clear. But just to be safe, let me explain. Last month, I talked about National Socialism, which I categorically oppose, not only because of its disgusting racism, but also because of the political philosophy that is almost always ignored. National Socialism, as I stated last month, is socialism light. Where National Socialism pretends to allow individual freedom, socialism overtly denies it to others. I find this appalling. National Socialism, socialism, and just for good measure, I'll throw in communism, are progressively horrific examples of anti-liberty. The cancerous spread of these ideologies throughout America over the past 100 years is the reason why this country is headed for a total collapse. It is terrifying how many people blindly adopt these ideas with zero regard to the consequences they will have on their freedom or the freedom of their fellow citizens. I am continually disheartened by the abject disregard for liberty from people I otherwise like and respect. Some of these people I know personally. Some of these people are public figures whose opinions and reactions to others are put forth on social media for all to see. And I've gotten to a point where I am personally afraid to engage people in a discussion because the fear and frustration has so engulfed their beliefs that they only know to vilify anyone who questions them. How can I possibly offer a different opinion if the second I do, I'm attacked? This collective poison has turned people into myopic, fearful hate generators who've been blinded to the truth of individual freedom and personal responsibility. And yet, if that's what you believe, I'm not going to force my morality on you. If you try to force your will on me, then I will oppose you with every fiber of my being. If you and I were to enter into a discussion or debate about collectivism, I will exercise my freedom of speech and explain how foolish you are to enter into a socialist collective with your friends, but I will never force you out of it. If I ever force my morality onto others, I become evil. It does not matter whether I walk into your collective with a baseball bat and keep swinging until I forced you out of it, or if I persuade enough political officials to send the police in with guns to drag you out. Once I use force or the threat of force, I am an agent of evil. I will never use force or threats to deny others their natural rights. Sadly, everywhere I look, I see people more than happy to deny me my natural rights. Like my friend's nosy sister, they feel it is their moral duty to monitor my life and make sure I'm properly chastised for any deviant behavior, and go running to mommy and daddy government trying to scare me into submission. And make no mistake, they are more than willing to do the same to you. A few weeks ago, someone posted an item on Facebook, linked to a story on Fox News that I'm going to relate to you. There's a popular shawarma restaurant in Detroit. I assume it's popular because it just opened its fourth location. Quick aside, if you haven't had shawarma, you're really missing out. We've got some pretty good Mediterranean restaurant representation here in South Texas, and I loved shawarma long before the Avengers came out. Anyway, the shawarma restaurant in Detroit had been in business for about 8 years. The owner hiring people he trusted to work for him. He had his way of operating his business. The employees were all there voluntarily. There didn't seem to be anyone who was unaware of the requirements of working at the establishment. Things seemed to be fine. Until recently, someone walked in and noticed something she didn't like. So she complained to the owner. When she didn't get the answer she wanted, she took to Facebook. Now, I want to make this perfectly clear before I proceed. If you don't like the way a business is run and you want to complain about it in social media, I'm fine with that. That's not where my problem comes from. In fact, with social media the way it is, I would much rather that be the platform people use to decide whether or not to patronize a business instead of using government to force an owner to conduct their business a certain way. What was this awful thing she saw that led to her complaints and her protest? I'll tell you in just a moment, but there are two details about this woman that stood out so prominently for me that I want to make sure you're aware of it as well. First, this woman had run for mayor of Detroit in the past, so she's got political aspirations. Second, she started this controversy just a few weeks prior to the release of her new book. How's that for an amazing coincidence? So, this wannabe politician who would benefit financially from some publicity walks into the shawarma restaurant. She told a local news station, "I visited the restaurant and I took note that inscribed across the young lady's buttocks, there was a message that said, 'We deliver.' And that was very sexually suggestive to me. Whenever you inscribe messages across the buttocks, you want people to look at the buttocks." Okay, just to be clear, this was not a naked woman working at this restaurant with "We Deliver" written on her butt cheeks. Rather, it's written on the pants of the employee. On Facebook, the woman expanded on her thoughts. "Upset with Bucharest restaurant in Detroit. I visited Bucharest on Livernoy for the first time last evening and became very offended when I noticed these beautiful black young ladies working in the restaurant with skin-tight knit pants that had 'We Deliver' written across their sizable behinds, butts. It seemed very sexual to me, and I was livid. It seemed so disrespectful of our girls. I complained, and so did other mothers who took note of the message. Some of the girls working there were obviously pleased with my complaint. I doubt the owner, whom I believe is Middle Eastern, would ask his daughter to wear such garb. I will not do business with an establishment that disrespects our girls." Could I mention this woman's name? Easily. But I'm not going to give her publicity she doesn't deserve. You know, should someone ever actually listen to this podcast. Here are my takeaways from her messages. I am happy that we have gotten to a point in our society where a woman, even a self-righteous collectivist trying to force her morality on people, can admit to walking into a restaurant and casually looking at the asses of other females. I may not agree with a single fucking thing you're trying to coerce this business into doing, but I admire your confession that you walked into this restaurant and immediately noticed, what was it you said? Oh yes, sizable behinds. Wait a minute. Sizable behinds? Are you saying that only women with large butts had the writing? Or that you were only looking at the women with the large behinds? Oh, maybe you mean you don't care about females who have small or featureless butts. Regardless, to purposefully single out what you consider to be sizable? Well, that sounds like fat shaming. You would think someone who seems to try to portray herself as enlightened would know better. Now, there are two things that I find very disturbing about her message. And I'm not really sure which one I find worse. The instigator assumed the owner was, quote, Middle Eastern, and therefore would be against permitting his theoretical daughter wearing similar clothes. It's racist enough you assume the owner is Middle Eastern. He's not. He's Romanian. But to further assume that because he is Middle Eastern means he would automatically have one set of moral standards for the women in his family and an entirely different set of standards for women he will interact with at work every day is disgusting. How does somebody get away with saying such blatantly racist remarks? Unfortunately, if you are championing what the collectivists believe to be a righteous cause, you are permitted and even encouraged to make such ignorant statements to help promote hatred toward your opponents. The other cringe-inducing thing from her message is the references to our girls. Now, very often when some people refer to females as girls, I've heard them quickly and curtly corrected to have them called women. And as I mentioned earlier, these are women. These are women who understood and agreed to the terms of employment. These are not children who need mommy and daddy to come running to the rescue because the big bad Middle Eastern man is making them wear pants with words. Also, R, girls, R implies ownership. How are these women yours? Certainly you do not own them. They are not yours to control and manipulate how you see fit. These are women who can make choices to work at places without your permission. The crux of the matter, though, is her comment, "It was sexually suggestive to me." I was once at HEB. For those of you not in Texas, HEB is a grocery store. And I saw a woman wearing pink pants with the word hottie on her butt. Looking at her, I'm pretty sure it was worn out of irony. Just because it says hottie doesn't make you hot. Just because it says we deliver doesn't mean anything other than that this restaurant offers delivery service for its menu items. It was sexually suggestive to you. You are the one who perceived it sexually. You are the one who perceived it as disrespectful. If an adult woman, or hell, even a minor with consent from her parents, willingly agrees to the terms of employment, how is it disrespectful? Nobody else complained until you presented your spin on it. You are the one who sexualized it. If nobody else noticed it or felt the desire to complain about it before you filtered it through your mind, then you are the cause. It is your suggestion that made it suggestive. What is it about your mind that automatically turns it into something sexual when countless others have seen it and not sexualized it? Why are you the oddity? Yeah, just to be fair here, the story does cite a couple of examples of people on social media who have noticed the women at the restaurant who appreciated the women who worked there. Yes, they could have been far less crass about it, but it was still positive. Now, there are certain chain restaurants where you expect to see waitresses dressed provocatively. Hooters, bikinis, Twin Peaks, Tilted Kilt, for example. If you don't like the way those businesses, or Bucharest Grill, operates, then don't fucking go there! You say you won't do business? Then leave and stay gone. If you don't want to do literal business, then get your fucking nose out of their figurative business. I'll let you in on a little secret. I don't like strip clubs. It's pointless to me. Spend a ton of money on women you can't do anything with? Not only is that incredibly boring, it sounds way too much like my early adulthood. I don't like going to Hooters. Why? Because their food sucks. Twin Peaks and Tilted Kilt have good food, so that's why I go. The scantily clad waitresses are just a nice touch. Here's a wild notion. Maybe, just maybe, people go there because Bucharest Grill makes good food, and some of the patrons just happen to enjoy the extra eye candy. No woman who goes to work for one of these places is ignorant of the uniform requirements. All the waitresses there were wearing their uniform voluntarily. If for any reason they suddenly decide they no longer wish to wear what the business requires for them to wear, they can easily parlay their waitressing experience to get another job at a different restaurant without such provocative uniforms. Unfortunately, the owner of the Bucharest Grill has removed the "We Deliver" message off the pants of the waitress's uniform. But that's not the only message that was on the pants of those uniforms. The instigator continued to trash the business on social media, expecting the owner to take the financial hit to overhaul all of the uniforms because, in her morality, any wording on the pants will cause people to look at the waitress's butts, and that is automatically sexually suggestive and disrespectful. So, what have I taken away from this microcosm of nosy collectivist incursion against this private business owner? The collectivists will always perceive their morality as superior to yours, which means they view you as inferior. You will either have to meet them on their level, which they think is higher ground, or you must be made an example of. In other words, either conform or be destroyed. Make no mistake, this instigator will only settle for a complete change to her morality, or seek to have this businessman's work shut down. She wants people to think words on the seat of people's pants are automatically sexualized, and she will indoctrinate as many people as she can and divert their focus from a reasonable consideration of individual liberty until she has enough voices to further intimidate this business into conformity. The collectivists will never acknowledge or even recognize the immorality of their words and actions. Since they believe they have the moral high ground, it doesn't matter that they are trampling on the rights of others. They can be hateful, racist, sexist, ageist, and in other cases even violent, and it won't matter to them. If you try to call them out on their obvious immorality, they will use their influence, connections, and bully tactics to brand you with the same sins they commit. The collectivists do not care about your free will to live your life as you choose, or to enter into mutually agreeable private contracts with others. They do not care that a business and a laborer both agreed to the terms of employment. Collectivists do not care at all that it is a private business. Their perception is that if you are open to the public, then you are under public control. And if you're under public control, then you are under government control. And if you are under government control, then they only need to have their collectivist ideals controlling positions of government to tell a business what to do, even if they are totally ignorant on how to properly run a business. The collectivists cannot and will not stop until you have been forced to change your morality. The more people they can get to agree with them, the more they believe in their own self-righteousness. That's why there is this incessant need to point out how many nameless and faceless others agree with them. Their egos must be sated, so once they have begun their crusade, they will not tolerate failure. They will double down, instigate, intimidate, and pontificate until they get the first thing they want. The first thing? Oh, yes. Once you give the slightest inch to their morality, they know they've got you. And they will blindside you with more demands. Well, now that you've made that little concession, take a look at this over here. Surely, if you're willing to see things our way on that other matter, you'll be willing to compromise with this next matter here. Nudge, 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 and one day you realize how much of your life, your dream, your rights have been lost because you gave in little by little to their morality. They think you belong to them. Your work belongs to them. They will take anything they want, whenever they want. They will assume they can claim ownership of your rights, your possessions, your efforts, if you let them. It will never be enough for them. The instigator first complains about her perception of the "we deliver" message on the waitress's uniforms. The business owner removes the message. End of discussion? Of course not! The next sortie on the instigator's social media is it's not enough for that message that she perceived to be sexualized, but now every message has to be removed because she now thinks all messages promote sexualization. Maybe once she's forced that change at a cost to the business owner and, by extension, his employees and customers, she will demand messages on the chest of their shirts to be removed as well. The only question is, will she demand it only of the female employees, and only if they have, to use her word, sizable features? Attacks like this from all kinds of different collectives come at us every day. Maybe the next will come from religious collectivists, or maybe social collectivists, or political collectivists. Maybe you've had to deal with nosy people like that in your own life. What you need to understand is this. So long as you are not denying the natural rights of others, then you should do as you please with your life. And no one has the right to force you to change. When you make mutual agreements with others, and both sides are fulfilling their agreements, then nobody on the outside of that private contract has any right to bully either of you into changing. I promise you, there are those of us out here who are willing to stand by you, even if we disagree with how you do things. In this respect, libertarians are kind of weird. We are a group, but we are devoted to individuality. We're kind of the anti-collective. We believe you should live your life on your terms. We believe you have the right to keep nosy collectivists out of your business. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.